We've had scattered pieces of the Christmas story throughout the service this morning. But if you are anything like me, maybe a more linear thinker, a more linear learner, you like to hear the Christmas story step by step by step. So here it is. In a world that had no help and no hope, there laid humanity lost in its own selfish ambitions and distant from God because of it, but determined to be in relationship with you and determined to be in relationship with me. God, motivated by love, sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to be with us. And that's the very thing that we celebrate here this morning, right? Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, God saves. The Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary and conceived of Jesus in her tummy. And as this is taking place, the angel Gabriel goes and talks to Mary, because we all know a few months into that, and it could be some big questions. And there became some big questions also as she was betrothed to Joseph. And obviously, they hadn't been together yet, so trying to figure out where this baby came from, he was going to set up to divorce her. But just as he was doing that, the angel Gabriel came to Joseph in a dream and, again, let him know what was going down. Caesar, at that time, called for a registration, so all of the people would go back to their homeland. And so the very pregnant Mary and Joseph travel all the way back to Bethlehem, where Jesus is born in a manger. As that's taking place, there are angels in the field with the shepherds that told them that this Jesus was born. They used words like a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This spoke of the Messiah, this Savior who had been talked about for hundreds of years. And he was here. This is what we celebrate. And not too long later, there was a star that led the wise men to baby Jesus. And I want to just learn from these wise men a little bit this morning. I've been long intrigued with wise men and women. Show of hands, how many of us have actually been affected by wise men and women in our lives? Let me convince a few of those hands that didn't show up. When we were born, we began to learn how to talk, how to walk, how to eat from people who were just a little bit wiser than us. And from then on out, we continued to learn. For me, that was lifeguard skills, CPR, this type of stuff, and then into working at the hospital, and then into doing what I get to do today. I've learned from a lot of wise men and women. The truth is, I learned almost everything I know how to do from wiser men and women than myself. And the truth that we can get from this is that wise men help us become wise. Anyone want to become wiser? Amen. So I figured if this is a life truth, then why not spend this morning learning from the wise men? So I want to read in Scripture here. We're going to start in Matthew 1:18. Hey, buddy. Are you going to read with me? Okay. And this is a unique service because we have all the kids in service, as we can see. So I don't mind the screaming, the wailing, the excitement. Even if some of you adults want to do that, that's totally fine as well. Matthew 1:18, it says, "Now, the birth of Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, they came together. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Isaiah said this, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I just love right here in these very scriptures how we learn immediately about who God is and what God does. Right here in these very words, we see Jesus, which means God saves. This is what God does. He sent his Son to save us from our sins so that we could be in right relationship with him. And the other name that's given there is Emmanuel, God with us. Anyone glad that this is who God is? Yeah. That God is with us. That he came close to us. That he would extend his arm towards us. Emmanuel, God with us. We get into chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born the king of the Jews?" Now, there's been some confusion over the years over this translation. A lot of the word for words, like the ESV Bible, the NASB, the King James, the New King James, these are all word-for-word translations of the Bible. They'll often put this word here as wise men, which is what my translation says. There are some other phrase-by-phrase Bibles that will also translate this word to magi. How many of you guys have heard that? Magi. And that's because of the Greek word that's used here is magos, which means broad, is a broad term for priests, experts in mysteries, astrologists, dream interpreters, studiers of sacred writings, and magicians, which would oftentimes refer to actually people working with medicine and figuring out how herbs and different medicines would actually help heal the body. And so there we see this wide variety for this term, magos. But what we do know is that these men were for sure studied men. They have a knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, which we'll see here in just a moment. And obviously, they know something of stars because that's where they are looking. We also know that these wise men are from the east. If we take a look at the map, you'll see Jerusalem there towards the center bottom of the map. And we look at all of that area to the east. We see Babylon over there and Persia. And those are the two main areas that these men would most likely have been from. My personal belief is that they would have been from Babylon because Israel was exiled there and they would have heard a lot of these stories, and that's where the knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures would have come from. Verse 2, these wise men came saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, you have to think about this question. How would these wise men know anything about what the star was meaning? How would they know to be looking at the stars? Right? How would they know that when they saw a star, that that meant that they were supposed to go towards it and it would lead them to the king? Some people just say this is what astrologers did. But if this were the case, you'd see a whole lot more wise men in the story. Here's my personal belief, that this is a reflection of more of an Old Testament scripture. In Numbers 24, the words of Balaam said this, speaking of the Messiah, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Right? A reflection and an understanding of this scripture would cause them to realize, oh, that's the star that's been spoken of for hundreds of years. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard about this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was with him, was scared with him. You wonder why Herod was so afraid. It's because he wasn't the rightful king by blood. And them saying that the king of the Jews was now born, well, that's not so good news if you're the king placed there by the Roman Empire. Right? He was very much the puppeteer king of Rome. He would do exactly as Rome told him to do. Verse 4, and assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, King Herod inquired of them where this Christ was to be born. And they told him, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it's written by the prophet Micah, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Anybody believe him? Nope. Verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshipped him. They opened their treasures and they offered him gifts. Anybody know the gifts? Gold, frankincense. You guys are pretty good at this. We should do a whole trivia night, huh? And being warned in a dream, they did not return to Herod. They departed to their own country by another way. So the whole premise this morning is, if wise men help us become wise, what can we learn from these wise men? The first thing that I like to notice is that they're following a star. They're following a star. For just some random person, like you and I, or even wise men, staring up at stars, it doesn't quite often elicit us to actually follow that star. But for someone who understands the 300-plus prophecies of the Old Testament about this coming Messiah, this star represents promises. This star represents the promises of the coming king. So these wise men are following after God's promises. They are led by God's promises. And just for a minute, realize how radical this trip is. Okay, from Babylon to Jerusalem, that's about 1,000 miles. Now for us, we think, all right, I mean, American Airlines, Alaska Airlines, boom, boom, boom. Maybe a rental car, we'll get there pretty quick. But in this day, 35 miles was the average distance a person would travel in their lifetime from the distance of where they were born. So 1,000 miles versus 35 miles, this is a big trip. This is an epic trip. And it oftentimes finds itself in the shadows behind some of these other epic trips that we see in the Bible. But it does just go to show that when we're led by God's promises, although certainly uncomfortable at times, what awaits us on the other side is blessed awe and amazement. If wise men were led by God's promises, are we led by God's promises? Are we led by God's promises? Let's consider, think with me for a minute, just on some of God's promises that He's given you. Can you guys think of any? You don't have to shout them out, but just think of them. As we consider these promises, let's recognize the promise in particular that these guys were following. They were led to Jesus. And the very declaration of Jesus Himself, He said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to salvation. The very truth of Jesus is found in this very popular verse in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. The promise is this, is that if you believe that Jesus was real, that He really did come on Christmas, that He was born, that He lived a life for our example, that He died on the cross, that He was buried, and that He was resurrected, and that we want to follow Him, the promise is that we get eternal relationship with God. Eternal right relationship. Have we followed that promise? Has that been a leading promise in our life? Consider some of these other promises. If you're a follower of Jesus, no matter how bad things get, God will always use them for your benefit. God will always use them to shape you to look more and more like Jesus. That's a promise in the Bible. That's a pretty good one. If you're a follower of Jesus, you will never, ever have a moment of being alone because He lives inside you. Amen. Is that good news for anyone? Amen. God comforts the hurting. We recognize in this Christmas season that this also does stir up some hurt from past. And we know that in 2 Corinthians 7, he says that God comforts the hurting. God also supplies for all of our needs. Philippians 4. I just want to continue to proclaim these promises. These are good promises for us. Do these promises lead us? Do these promises cause us to step forward, to step into the things that God is calling us to? What about directional promises? Have you guys had any directional promises that God has given you for your life? God gave a directional promise to Abraham. He said that if you will go, I will make your family as numerous as the stars in the sky. I think back on my life and my walk with Jesus, and I recognize that my life has very much been shaped by His promises. I'm constantly led by God's promises that He has made to me. I was a drug addict. I was violent. I pointed guns at people. That's who I was. I ended up on the floor of a jail cell in the Snohomish County Jail and encountered God. Realized that He was real. He spoke to me. And from that moment on, He began giving me some promises. He said, Ben, you're going to be a pastor someday. That wasn't in the cards. Here I am.
We're glad.
Love you. He made a promise that I would marry a woman that would encourage me, that would stir me, that would always call me to the standard of the Scriptures, that would pray with me and pray for me. There she is. God made a promise that we would have a child. And after a year of trying, which seemed like 10 years, well, you saw him running around up here, my little boy Zadok. He made a promise that we'd have a second child. And after a miscarriage, He brought us baby Gracie. She's here, probably asleep, because that's what she does best. Amazing baby. Amazing baby. Our church is being led by the promises of God. We look at the promises that He's made to us, and most of our leadership team would agree with me that this is a promise of God, that we're going to see a transformed Casino Road. By the power of God, by the gospel, we're going to see a transformed Casino Road without violence, without addictions, without poverty, transformed by His power. Does it seem impossible? Yeah, but nothing's impossible for God. It's just a snap for Him. Do you guys have any promises that you guys are holding on to? Wise men are led by the promises of God. Are you led by the promises of God? I also love the response of the wise men when they see the star in Jerusalem. What do? It says in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. Anybody rejoicing?
Amen.
Come on. The specific implications here are that these wise men rejoiced when God showed them how to get to Jesus. Right? This is the exact situation. If we take this and paint this with just a little bit more of a broader brush, we can say that when God was doing something, the wise men rejoiced. Are we people who rejoice when God is doing something? When we see God doing something? If you ask me, we should all be characterized by joy. This should mark our lives. We should be the most joyful people on the planet because of what we know, because of what's been done for us. Time and time and time again, we see people going through hard times in the Bible and yet are able to express joy. It's because they recognize that they've got Him and because He's actually doing something. If we take a glance at what heaven's going to look like, right? For the people of God, our future, right? It's a place of celebration. creation, right? Praise and worship all the time. There's a place in Scripture that says when people turn away from, when one person turns away from sin and lays their life down before Jesus, that heaven erupts with joy, right? And you think about all over the world, well, like every minute someone's giving their life to Jesus. So what is it like in heaven? Celebration, right? That's what it is like in heaven. That's what it should be like for us now. We're just preparing for it, right? We're just starting to live that life now, right? Jesus, when he instructed to pray, he said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's just begin living like we're in heaven. Let's start believing like we're in heaven. When we pray for people, let's pray that it would be like in heaven. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself now. Think about what causes us to have a lack of joy or some characteristics of a lack of joy, right? Tears, death, mourning, pain, sickness, disease. Okay, I was pausing to see if I got any amens there just to see if you guys were actually listening. Thanks for doing that. But now think of the promises. Here's another promise for you. For those in Christ, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. Friends, there's a reason for joy. Amen. There is a real reason for joy. And too often our joy is dictated by things that have no business dictating them. And not often enough are we joyed by, well, where it should be rooted in. How often is our joy dictated by the winning and losing of our favorite team or player? That's happened. Guilty. How often is our joy dictated by the weather? Seattleites? Those are clouds out there. That's like 9 months out of the year. Oh, boy, you keep saying that. How often is our joy actually dictated by people coming to Christ? By people being healed by the power of God? By drug addicts laying down their drugs? By people turning away from sinful lifestyles? How often are we getting up and joyful and excited about that? I mean, just compare, just my couch alone, when we're watching football, man, I'm like up and down, I'm joy, woo! I'm painted body and everything. No, I don't do the body paint thing. But imagine if we were like that for the things of God, when God is actually doing something. I don't want any guilt to fall on anybody. I just want to stir us to greater worship of Jesus. Jesus came in pursuit of you, and relationship with him unlocks a whole life-size closet full of joy. It's true. Give it a try. If you want to challenge, if you want to challenge that, come and talk to me, and we'll just try it. I'll say this: give it 30 days of saying, "Jesus, I love you. I'm going to do whatever you want. Speak to me. Help me to feel this joy that Ben's talking about." You're not going to want to end after the 30 days. I'll walk with you through that if you want to. Wise men find joy in God's activities. And finally, what did the wise men bring? We already talked about this briefly. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is a generous gift. I mean, I'm grateful for all the gifts that you guys gave with baby Gracie. Clothes and food and time and all this stuff. I mean, but gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Come on. I feel like I'm missing out a little bit. Just playing. Just playing. But that's a generous gift. These were generous wise men. And we've recently talked as a church family about how radical generosity is essential to transforming the world around us. And frankly, generosity is the standard for people who call themselves followers of Jesus. This is the life that we live. We are generous people. Here's a little a little inroad to Ben's mind and how Ben's mind works. Have you guys ever thought about why people love Santa? Right? I mean, the what? The presence? That's a good point. I went through my mind. I'm like, is it because the beard? I mean, you got to love that beard, though. Like, my brother loves beards, and he grows it out sometimes, so it's nice and thick. And so when we're watching our shows, what is it, the Alligator Hunter or whatever, you know? Get him! Or how do you say that, Frank?
Shoot him.
Shoot him! There you go. That's pretty good. He sees those big old beards, and he's like, oh, that's a nice beard, right? So is it the beard? My Lord! Is it the rosy cheeks, the glasses? Is it the ho, ho, ho? Is it the belly? Because, I mean, if that's going to help more people like me, I mean, hey. Right? I don't know. No. She says, keep working out. Go easy on the food. All right. I love you. I think it is because the gifts, the presence, right? And I don't know, another inroad to Ben's mind, but have you ever thought about what it'd be like to be Santa?
No.
Come on now. Everyone would love you everywhere that you go, right? Everyone's just happy to see you. There's an automatic smile on your face. We can be Santa everywhere we go. We can be those bearing gifts everywhere we go. We don't have to put on the weight. She's like, praise God, amen. We don't have to grow the beard. Although beards are cool in my book. We don't have to wear the red and the fluffy white. But we all have gifts. Each of us has gifts. God has made us with gifts. Maybe our gift can be a smile. Maybe our gift is a, hey, hello. Maybe our gift is a listening ear or a candy bar or a cookie. We can be generous. You've got gifts to give. So wise men, go bearing gifts. Imagine if we walked into every meeting, every classroom, every workplace, every grocery store. Imagine if everywhere we went to dinner, we went as if I've got a bag of gifts on my back and my goal is to give these gifts away. We could change the world. We could change the world with that type of thinking. Well, let's change the world. Let's transform the world. Wise men go bearing gifts. They find joy in what God is doing, and they're led by His promises. This is what wise men do. My couple of wise men worshipers, if you guys would come up. We're going to move into our candle lighting time. I recognize that one of the other things that these wise men did was when they got to Jesus, they worshiped Him. And so I want to continue to worship Him this morning. You've been given some candle lights. Last year we had a whole bunch of wax everywhere. Yeah, y'all are laughing back there, that back row. You know it. Oh, man. So we got some waxless candles for us this morning. But as we quote-unquote light our candles, there is a button on the bottom to flame on. But Jesus spoke and He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We recognize that as Jesus came into a world of darkness, He was the light. And now that He lives inside each of us, we get to be that light. So remember that as we continue to worship this morning. Go ahead and stand with me if you would. As Jesus came, He was called the Prince of Peace. And I don't know how often or how why the reason is that we so often get it twisted. And this becomes the most stressful time of year. We're all guilty of it one time or another. But let's renew our minds and set our minds on it now. Jesus, You are the Prince of Peace. Holy Spirit, I ask now that you'd minister peace to your people. Reset our paradigms. We bow to your will, God. Father, we thank you for the coming of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we now get to be in relationship with you, that there's no such thing as ever being alone, that we can be generous because you are generous towards us. We thank you for the true gift and the true reason for the season is Jesus. Let us all keep that in mind. Family, a Savior has been born for you. If you have questions about that, if you have questions about following Jesus, if you have questions about rededicating your life to Jesus, maybe you're recognizing this morning that you haven't been walking with Him, you haven't been being led by Him. And if that's you this morning, I would love to talk with you about what that means and what that looks like after service. Come find me. And this also just came to me. If you are wondering, man, does God have any personal promises for me? I'd love to explore that with you. I believe the Lord speaks to His people. He's a God of relationship and He loves to talk to us. And as we would have open ears to hear, that He would speak those promises. And so if you have questions about that, I'd love to speak with you after service and pray with you. And more than likely, if it's that, then it's something that we'll walk through for a season together. Does that sound good?
Amen.
May we all know Jesus. May we all believe upon Him and trust in Him for the remainder of our days. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Would you please enjoy some homemade cookies with us and continue to celebrate Jesus?
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.